No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS.
You're with George Eliason,
live from Donbas, Ukraine, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Happy Monday. I hope your weekend was great. Now, if you were here for the news break, I mean, we hear Joe Biden stating his commitment very, very clearly on 60 Minutes. He's going to support Ukraine no matter what. And when he's, you know, questioned again on it and saying, listen, you're over $30 billion, north of $30 billion. Well, they should have had a better figure than that, because how far north are we actually? I mean, you know, these stimulus packages have been like every other week or every week for a hell of a long time now. So, you know, if you're looking at, you know, 500 million here, 600 million there, 300 million here, a billion there, it's adding up to quite a lot north of that figure, and incredibly lot more. Now, in terms of Joe Biden getting a handle on inflation, which is, you know, the direction the question was going in, he's very, very hopeful. Yeah, okay. That's a great answer, Joe. He's kind of like the uncle that you don't invite to the barbecue. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going to happen. And unfortunately, Joe is in a position where he has a free pass to every barbecue now, and he's going anyway. The American economy under him, regardless of what he says. Now, can he take drug prescription plans down? Well, it was him that raised them up in the first place. They were down under Donald Trump, if you remember correctly. And as soon as Biden came in, did a few reversals on progress that Trump made. And, you know, let's say insulin prices went from like $30 to, what, $150 a shot. It was like, you know, God knows what that is a month. And people were actually dying. Thank you, Joe. So now you're going to make it affordable again. When? Not when people needed it, but just before the election. You know, it makes you wonder, when that happened, how many people were affected and what happened to them? And it's something that, it's a story that needs to be told. And maybe I'll get to that. But it's at this point only speculated on. The number has to be incredibly large. How many people didn't make it through the first half of Joe Biden's administration because of the cost of prescriptions? All because he wants to support Ukraine. All of this started by jumping in, wrecking the world to support Ukraine. Now, I want to go back to Mariupol. We all remember the heroes of Mariupol, right? We do. I mean, they were heroes. That's what they told us. Even though these people, when they started bringing them out of Azovstal steel plant, the Russian army had to get in front of them and protect them from the citizens who wanted to freaking kill them. The citizens that these Azov battalion heroes were supposedly protecting wanted to beat them to death with clubs and boots, because for the first time in 8 years they had the upper hand. These guys didn't have guns in their hands. That's how bad it was in Mariupol for 8 years. And they're heroes. Well, these people were taken to prison in Donetsk. It's actually Ilanovka is the name of the town. And early in the summer, Ukraine sent a missile strike there and killed a bunch of the prisoners. And, you know, I'm reminding you for very, very specific reasons. Why'd they do that? They were afraid that these animals would start talking to save their lives. You see, Donetsk, Russia does not have a death penalty. Donetsk does, but they have a moratorium on it right now, which means no one's actually getting executed. It's like, you know, you're being sentenced to death row, but, you know, the decision is never made. So these guys are in prison and they have rights. I mean, you've got that, I forget the kid's name, but that English kid, that British kid that was with them, even though he's been sentenced to death, he has internet. He is talking on the internet every week and getting interviews from whoever will actually talk to him. Very talkative fella. And now that these people are in prison and they've realized Ukraine really doesn't want them back. They're talking and talking and talking. Well, guess what? The other day, on the 18th, that was like yesterday, Ukraine sent another missile strike, two Uragans, two Hurricane missiles to the prison. Now, luckily for the prisoners, after the first strike, which was unexpected, why would Ukraine kill its own heroes? I mean, they're heroes, right? Well, they dug in what you'd call cellars for protection from bombs, missiles, etc. For the prisoners. So the male prisoners went into those. They hadn't finished with the women prisoners yet, so they let them all out of their cells and whatever they got to cover. Well, once one prisoner was killed, not a couple more wounded. But they're asking, why is Ukraine trying to kill us? Now, in light of this, Zelensky saying that Russia is murdering people and it's on a genocidal streak in there, ad isium, they're bringing this mass grave to bear. In the news, big mass grave. But if you see the videos, you'll notice that they all have crosses on the graves. Now, all these people that were buried there, and we'll start with that, to get that, they actually had a funeral that an Orthodox priest presided over. It's not quite the thing you do when you torture somebody, you hurt them, you do whatever. Do you turn around and give them a Christian funeral? Is that what you do? But that whole forest area is full of crosses. It's full, and it's not just crosses. It has who they were if their names were known. When they uncovered some of the bodies, they had cell phones on them and whatever. So, you know, they couldn't have been questioned very hard if people were looking for intelligence, could they? Oh, we forgot to grab his cell phone? Give me a break. Then you have NBC and Fox News going there, and they're telling the same story. They're actually showing the same video. Their own people didn't even have to shoot video. Ukraine did it for them. And the Ukrainian officials are complaining that Russia is committing a genocide and wants to kill all the Ukrainians, which isn't the case. But Fox was good enough to let us know, which is a clue, that some of these bodies were buried in March, which was all of them, most of them. There was a big battle in March when the Russians took it over, and in that forest, there was a huge battle, and what they did was bury, but they gave them a funeral. They didn't do what Ukraine does, which is let people rot in the streets. Ukraine can get away with this, and quite frankly, you know, I'm not dumbfounded by it because of the media war. Most of the journalism I've done over the last seven years has been exposing all that. So I understand that part of it. But the fact that people can be taken in constantly by this kind of thing, when it was only a few months ago that same media was complaining that Ukraine was constantly lying, And they were doing this because that was their biggest tool, was media. And they were showing parts of video games and putting that out as video, showing how strong they were doing, how well they were doing in the war. And they were making all these outrageous claims. And it, you have to understand that when you talk about things, you have to separate who they're talking about. So it's not, you know, whether there's a victim or an aggressor. You look at what's actually happening, whether the rubber meets the road, what's actually happening. If all of Ukraine's claims are true, or even half of them, or even some of them, then Russia is a bloody monster. But here's the thing. Ever since the whole Russia scandal, every move Ukraine has made, because they're behind most of that too, from then till now, give it a few months or a year, and then the whole thing is debunked. The problem is it grabs all the headlines right now, all of them. And people that should know better are afraid to go against the tide, or at least not very strongly. And I quite frankly, I find it sickening. You know, in terms of a trend in journalism, it's sickening. Because people have a right to know what the hell is going on. And when you're north of $15 billion, probably north of $30 billion, would be closer to the truth, they have a right to know why they can't find baby food or baby formula anymore because of it. People should have that right because it affects them directly. And that connection is what needs to be made, because that's where the rubber meets the road. All of these things that people are suffering, it's because of this, what's going on here and what Ukraine is doing in media. Now, after making these claims that Russia is barbaric, this, that, the other thing, as I said, they sent two Hurricane missiles at that prison again. That's what kind of people the Ukrainians actually are. Now, we're talking about the Ukrainian governments, and very, very specific. I wish there was another name you could call them, but you know, for the sake of being able to recognize it, well, that's Ukraine. So we've talked about this, you know, money a lot, because it's going into people's pockets. Well, how is it doing that? I was sent a leaked set of documents, and I generally don't deal in leaked material. I don't deal in hack material for the most part. I just don't. I just call it a picadillo, but it's like, you know, okay, someone burglarized someone's house and they're going to show me something from it. Do I actually want to see that? I'm a very capable investigative journalist, so I'd rather take the long route, get all the facts, instead of the short route in general. But what they sent me was about 8 bills of lading for cargo ships that were going to the Caspian Sea. What was interesting about those that is that they were chocked full of American missiles coming out of Ukraine, like 200 missiles for each ship. So figure 8 ships. And this is one tranche of documents from like a 1 month period. Hello? How much is one of those puppies cost anyway? Anyone have any idea? It's quite a bit, isn't it? So if they're shipping them out on ships. You know, you think with the black market in Ukraine, somebody's, you know, hiding something in the back of the car and selling it out of the back of the car. That's one thing, right? All this goes back to the government because someone has to sign off on these things to get them out of the base. Now, let's be very, very clear. That corruption goes up to the top. We're talking missiles here. Over 200 per container ship, per ship. So what are we looking at, you know, in terms of money? I mean, is that like $15 million per ship? Or is that like, I don't know, $40 million per ship? What are these things worth on the black market? Because you're talking about, you know, getting a premium price because obviously the people buying them can't get them any other way, right? So they're going to pay top dollar for that. And then you have to pay the shipping guy. You have to pay the export guy. You have to pay the guy at customs. You have to pay the transport guy in Ukraine. You got a lot of people to pay. So there's a lot of money going around for this. And this is Joe Biden's help to Ukraine. And more importantly for you, this is the baby formula that you cannot get. There it is on that ship. Where's it going? Ultimately, these weapons, these are top shelf weapons, by the way. I mean, really, really cool stuff, top end. They're going to groups like ISIS. ISIS is in Ukraine, and they are shipping this stuff back. And U.S. soldiers, British soldiers, European soldiers are going to have to fight these things. It's going to be a really interesting battle to see what top flight SOF soldiers from the West do when they meet their own weapons on the battlefield. And these same people are the people they've trained. So they fight like them too. They think like them too. And so it's like, it's closer to it's closer to ballroom dancing at that point than war, because you're playing off each other's moves. This is the world we're heading into because of the Democrats in the Senate, in the House, and the House. This is the world they're building. And it's crazy. This is just insane. I first caught on to this, literally, it was right before the 2016 election. There was Fifth Group Special Forces, a Green Beret, was in Syria training these people, ISIS, training them. On the other side, the CIA and Delta Force were training another group. And these groups would fight each other. The CIA group would fight the Special Forces group of ISIS terrorists. The guy said, we're not training them right. We're teaching them enough so they can die heroically. We don't want these people around because we're going to end up having to face them. And why would we teach them our tactics if we have to fight them? And he refused. That fifth group did a very patriotic thing, but they went against their command for it, which is an incredibly brave thing. And then write an article about it, which is an amazingly brave thing to do in that community. This is going on. And now these boys, not just in Ukraine. Oh, no. That would be just that. Why would you care, right? They're in the U.S., they're in Australia, they're in the EU, they're in Canada. Now here we are. Now if we could get to the day where we could actually get that baby formula on the shelf and start from there and come forward again and skip all this, that would be a good day. But it's just not in the cards for us. In the hand we're dealt on that. But we have to do it with our eyes open. Joe Biden and the Democrats want destruction. They want violence. They want anarchy. They want all this. Because if they can get the handle on it, when it happens and crush it, they win. And that's what it all leads to. Now, if they can do it without it going that far and just crush all dissent and everything with everybody sitting on their hands, well, they win. Whether or not you're a fan of the old Soviet Union, I really don't care. Now, from a conservative perspective, what happened there? Actually, let's look at it from a historical perspective. A little tiny group of guys, well, guys and gals, went into a foreign country, which was Russia, hooked up with a even tinier group of guys and gals that were there, and they took over an entire empire, lock, stock, and barrel, in a very, very short time, because everybody sat on their hands. It's the whole Bolshevik thing. It was a very, very tiny group of guys, really, really tiny. I mean, it amount to, gosh, I don't know. Have you ever seen the Sons of Anarchy? Yeah, a group that size taking over the empire. Pretty much. And they did it. Because people will always go along with authority. So if this the authority saying this is where we're going, they say, yes, commandant, sir, we are going. And we learned this through the Milgram experiments. It really doesn't matter if people have the authority or not. As long as they say they do, they look the part, they smell the part, they talk the part, people will kill people. Just because they're told to. Because everybody, to some degree, will fall into that. And that's just, as insane as it sounds, it's one of society's worst impulses to do. Go with the flow. Because when you don't, well, everybody is. Now that you're going against the tide, the flow, you really don't, you know, people are very afraid to stand out that way. Biden is setting up a situation on that line. And it's not just in America. Look at Germany right now. Look at every country. This is where we're going. And they're all staying in tune with each other, whether or not they buy into this or not. Because they're in the club. And government leaders aren't that much different than real people. They fall under this whole Milgram deal too. Well, look, you know, Joe's doing it, so, you know, we got to do it, you know? Well, that's why everybody barks about, oh, I wish there were statesmen, because it's statesmen and women. Is that such a thing? Maybe they're all classed under the same thing, statesmen, who knows? They're the people that would stand against the tide and do what's right for the country and put the countries first. That's what government's supposed to do, and it's just no longer a thing anymore. It's about power, position, greed. Power has more pull than money for a lot of people. Power does. As long as they have enough to, you know, do with money to do what they want, they'd rather have the power. And it gives them such a high, these people. Supporting Zelensky, even though he's committing horrible crimes on Ukrainians, and then putting it off on Russia because Russia is the hated enemy, right? They're supposed to be. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm George Eliason. This is TNT Talk Radio.
Jesse Zurawell on TNT Radio.
ESG, environmental, social, and governance factors, which largely underpin the net zero carbon neutral push that is in turn being pushed by the increasing alarm being sounded over climate change. And now there is a new king in the UK who is gung-ho when it comes to climate change and ESG, the fraud that both of those are, and gung-ho with regard to implementing the new international monetary and financial system that ESG is all about.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Honoring. Protecting. Caring. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy-to-understand, coherent conversation.
So I've made it a priority my entire career to work closely with you from the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek excuse me. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio. Now, going back to Ukraine, and welcome back, by the way. Thanks for coming by today. Going back to Ukraine, now we're talking very heavy stuff when you're looking at container ships full of weapons leaving, because now we're talking bulk. Now, this, I was thinking about this, and it's the birth of a new cottage industry. It wouldn't make Zelensky an arms dealer, but it would make him a reseller. If that makes sense, I mean, think about it. He's buying American weapons and British weapons and French weapons and German weapons with American money. He's buying it. Well, actually, you're paying for it, but technically he's buying it. And then he's putting it on a boat, travels across the country down to Odessa, puts it on a boat, ships it out. That's a reseller. This is like consignment. I mean, do you think he's doing that with his guys? Hey, you know, you get this on the boat, it's consignment. I'll give you $5 for like each one of these things. Come on, Jerry. You know, let's go. You're slacking. But a reselling of weapons. So it's a new concept, but I think it's a thing in Ukraine now. The other in thing going on is to sell them on the web. A German student was trolling around on the web and they came across a site, and lo and behold, you could buy an American Stinger online. Use your PayPal. No, seriously, use your PayPal. You can buy American Stingers, and there they are. There it is, brand new condition. Why is it in brand new condition? Because it... was just flown in. So they're selling them online. Do you think people online selling stuff really care who buys it as long as someone does? What kind of market do you think they have? You know, I mean, do you think they charge for delivery? How's this stuff work? Selling weapons that can take down jetliners online. Well, not jetliners, helicopters and low-flying stuff. I mean, you need a pretty big setup, but I'm sure Ukraine will sell that to you too. You know, like a buck system. Avni stingers being sold on the internet. And someone just trolling around on the internet finds this. So it can't really be that hidden, can it? This is how brutally obvious all of this is, and it's going on. And quite frankly, there goes your baby formula. There goes the price of gas just went up another dollar. This is what's happening. When Biden does cut down the prescription prices, that's, well, great. The prescription, you know, for that, you know, $150 insulin shot now went down to $30, but you're paying for it in your what? Federal income tax, sales taxes. It doesn't go away. It just gets transferred on everybody else. And it's easy to do for things like insulin because, you know, not everybody's a diabetic, okay, which is a good thing. But you're taking that cost instead of making the manufacturer sell it at a reasonable price. And, you know, when I say that, I'm not talking about central control on the economy. I'm talking about people not in a position to actually gouge, especially on medical stuff. I mean, that's just wrong. They still get paid the big money. They still get to gouge. But now they get to gouge a little out of everybody instead of a lot out of a few. So Joe Biden is just spreading the wealth a little bit further in terms of the pain. And he's adding it on and adding it on and adding it on. And in the back of that poor boy's mind, he sees each thing individually. Probably he's not adding up the total bill. Because, you know, you go to a restaurant and, you know, you had a salad and you had one drink. And let's say you get stuck with the bill for everything. I mean, you know, your thing could have been $15. But the total bill is like $150, and you know, you've got $140. Now what do? You're doing dishes. That's the kind of position he's putting the average American in. That's what's happening. So even if they start cutting the price of gas and artificially cutting down inflation a bit instead of doing the right things to get it done so it's self-sustaining, I have news for you. They get through the cycle, the election cycle, like they want. All these things are going to bounce back up because it's artificial moves. They can't hold. When you put an artificial hold on something, it eventually breaks out and breaks loose. Look at the crash back in the late 2000s. That's what happens when you do bad things. You don't know what you're doing with the economy. This is exactly what happens. Now, we're looking at a big army of all these experts that are justifying all these things. And they're falling right in line, even though they know better. And you have people like Janet Yellen, who comes up with a half-truth. Well, I think we'll land okay. I think it's, you know, if you're the accountant at the firm and someone asks you how much money's, you know, in the company bank account, you better damn well know in the private sector. You better know. And if you're in charge of paying the bills for the company, you actually write out a plan, believe it or not, on different days, different bills, because they come due on different days. You have different grace periods, etc. Now, with all those things happening, you actually spread them out a little bit. So it's not all that money leaving the bank at one time. With the U.S. government, now it is a little bit more complex, granted. But they're not in charge of actually having to write the checks to pay the bills. You are. They're in charge of deciding what day those things are going to be paid on. and what Janet Yellen is saying, it looks like we're going to have to do this all at once at some point very, very soon. Do you understand the analogy now? So if Joe Biden's giving $50 billion away and saying, well, we're going to cut inflation and still do that, and Janet Yellen saying, well, this might all come due at one time, which one of these people do you want to believe? You want to believe the chick that doesn't know what she's talking about but is scared? She knows enough to be scared about what she doesn't know anyway. Or Uncle Joe, who might actually remember something from the 1970s while he's talking about what happened in the 2000s, because it has impact on what on yesterday's meal. I mean, that's just how Joe talks. He doesn't care. Joe Biden never cared about the American people. For Joe and his whole crowd, his family, it's always been power. That's been the game. And now that they have it, you'll notice, like the Ukrainians, they don't know what to do with it. And so they're mucking it up. Or I should say, they do know what to do with it. They're setting it up so it's a permanent feature for his party, which is what he's there for. Saying that they don't know what they're doing is honestly, it's the kind of kindness that we can't afford to give these people anymore. They do know. And saying otherwise is saying that, well, forget the fact that, you know, we elected people that are this stupid. Let's forget about that, because it would say a lot about us. Let's face it. But it's the fact that if none of this is planned, then, I mean, it's kind of a game over for, forget about the empire. I get a kick out of people talking about that these days. It's not much of one anymore. Forget about the empire. We're at a place where even if Joe Biden's civil war doesn't happen, it's going to fall apart. But the actual worst way would be like the Habsburg Empire. Let me tell you about the last day of the Habsburg Empire. The emperor went up to the prime minister, and for the life of me, I can't think of the prime minister's name. It's very important. He was an Austro-socialist. And he said, well, okay, how are things now? And the prime minister said, I've called a taxi, sir. This was an empire lasting. This is the Holy Roman Empire. I mean, this is like the Crusade guys all the way through into World War I. These guys had always been in power. And they were so out of touch, they didn't know their people were starving to death in the last days. Ever. People were fainting from hunger in the streets. And the emperor, this was a couple of months before he was called that taxi to leave. He went up to a doorman. He said, what's going on? I hear people. He said, they're protesting, sir. They're starving to death. He goes, really? I didn't know that. So he tried to do something. Well, people have been starving to death for quite a while. And there was nothing he could do at that point. So to go from what was seen as the single greatest empire in the world for a long time to, I'll call you a taxi, don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out, to an empire, to an emperor, is quite a thing. And that's what it looks like is going on, moving, the U.S. is moving in that direction. That's what the Democrats are doing. So if they can't win. Maybe now, if they set it up so it goes bad enough, maybe they can win it back later. We're going to take a quick break right now. I'm George Elias, and this is TNT Talk Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Close to 3 months ago, I wrote an article for CFACT on the man-made climate disaster that was coming for Europe because of these insane policies. And it's really starting to have people take notice. Even Glenn Beck is having a special on it Wednesday night in the United States. But here's what I want to ask the leaders of the Western world that are doing this to people with this phony climate war. Are you advancing the cause of mankind doing this, or are you leading to more misery? Take care of the problems today, not worried about what may or may not happen 100 years down the road. And I'll tell you what, I took a look at the Japanese model for the winter. There's a lot of blocking over Greenland and Iceland, and it looks bad for Europe. But we've been saying that we're concerned about that since spring. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Lowe, long jump gold medalist and world record holder. When I was 15, I was waiting to catch my train. In a split second, my life changed. As the train arrived, the crowd surged forward. I was too close to the platform edge, lost my balance, and fell into the path of the oncoming train. I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and it took 2 years to walk again. So please, stand back, look up, and stay rail safe.
We have every right to believe Ukraine funds are being money laundered, unless proven otherwise. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, and thanks for coming today. So we have this, we can see where they're going with this stuff. And it's quite frankly not to our benefit. But how do they justify these things? Well, you've got these university professors and these talking heads that sit behind everything. And they actually manufacture data. And these are people that know better. For Ukraine, you have at Yale, you have Timothy Snyder, who's, when he's not talking about Ukraine, and even when he has actually written some really, really decent material when he's not getting political. If he just stuck to history, he gets most of it right. He really does. How could I be so cavalier? This guy's a world famous professor, and quite frankly, I'm not. Because being a student of history, the nice thing about history is that it's something that happened. So there is no time machine to go and redo it. There's no do-over on this thing. Once something happens, it happens, you know? So the records are there, but what people write down for the records, what these historians do write, a lot of times it's very, very incomplete. And with Snyder on Ukraine and Russia, he's taking the basis of his history from a guy that was paid by the Habsburgs to write a history so they could create a country. And Snyder knows this. So my thoughts are that he's getting paid a great deal to do this. Now, he was in a conference with that Ann Applebaum was holding that was being put up by a Victor Pinchuk Foundation. Now, old Victor has been in this game for a long time, and quite frankly, he is he's evil man, even for a Ukrainian. He's an evil man. Applebaum made her name as on the editorial board of the Washington Post, et cetera, New York Times, whatever. And she has been on the Ukrainian diaspora payroll since, God, you know, when she was young. That was a long time ago. So they're having this conference, and they're talking about Ukraine and the war here. It was very specifically about the war here. What is it about? And they asked the question, well, is it about territory? No, Russia's not doing this about territory. It's about culture. It's about language. It's about, are we Russian people or Ukrainian people? It's about deciding on the present and the future for a very, very large number of people, both inside Russia, the Russian Federation, and Ukraine, as well as the satellite Central and other Eastern European states. This is how serious they take it. This is conversations they're having. Ukraine has to win at all costs. Otherwise, Russian people might not want to be Ukrainian anymore. This is part of the conversation. I mean, think about this. And quite frankly, they were putting it very, very close to those terms. Why? Well, being historians, they have to touch upon the fact that 100 years ago, everybody sitting in Ukraine right now was Russian. That Ukrainian was not a nationality 100 years ago. Well, it's actually 100 years ago from now, it started to be. So 120 years ago, it was not a nationality at all. No one, if you said someone was Ukrainian 120 years ago, people in Ukraine would say, where are they from? What's that? Is it like Chinese or something? They wouldn't recognize it. They'd recognize it as a political party. That they would. But the original Ukrainian political party wanted to break away from the Habsburg Empire and go join Russia. Now, they killed all those people that wanted to go join Russia. And in their place, they put people that wanted to stay with the Habsburg Empire. True story. And an Austrian was the first Ukrainian. An Austrian. Snowflake. Yes, he was a snowflake. I mean, he was the epitome of a pronoun snowflake, was the first Ukrainian. Swear to God. But they're saying these are the people that advise Joe Biden's advisors. These are the people that advise all the leaders of Europe on these matters. It's not what these people are, who they are. Think about your nationality. What are you? Now, it's kind of funny. In Australia, the U.S., we're not really a nationality. We're from a place. I'm Australian, but I'm Scottish, and I'm English, and I'm this, and I'm that. I'm from America. I'm from America, but I'm this and that. My nationalities. So we don't think of our national being in terms of that, because it's a big melting pot. It's all over the place, you know. But they are taking that away from the Ukrainian people for the sake of the world, for world's peace, energy security. I remember when I first moved here, I actually talked to somebody. It was in Odessa. I stayed at this hotel on the beach in Odessa for like a week, and it was pretty cool. Never seen anything like the Black Sea before. It's like, you know, you go to California or New England, where I'm from, and the waves roll in, you know, high tide, they roll in, and there's a space. The Black Sea, where it was coming in, where I was, it was like a machine gun going off with 6-foot waves, one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And you know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, it's at evening time. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, how the hell do you get through that? You can't. You go out there, you're just going to get thrown back on the shore or dragged under. So, you know, it was really different. But how do you tell these people that they are not who they are? Now, with Ukrainians, in terms of nationality, the two first settlers, now you had the early people that were there, but the first immigrants there, the first settlers, the most important ones were Jews and Greeks. So you're telling the Jews and Greeks they can't be Jews and Greeks anymore. They have to be. Because otherwise, Russia wins this thing. They tried that before. That was in World War II. It didn't work out well for the Jews and Greeks back then either. It didn't work out for the people that said they were Russian either during World War II. Hint, hint, you know, whole Nazi thing everybody says doesn't exist today. Hint. And that's setting up the justification for all of this going into the future. And I cannot say these historians, world class as they are, don't understand this. Imagine being in a position where you're an expert on genocide, the Holocaust, what set it up, on nationalism, this, that, the other thing, the barbarity of it all, the sacrifices and measures that needed to be taken to put it back down so that normal people could live. And it was a very, very tremendous sacrifice from all our families. And then to know all that and to stand behind its rise again and say it's defending our values, we need to take away the identity of an entire people and make them look through political glasses, because that's what being Ukrainian is. It's a political mess. We need to force this so we can be safe from what? From what? Everybody talks about Russian aggression, but I've got news for you. I want someone to pick out a country that's invaded. Yeah, exactly. It's crickets. Not happening, right? Now you can look at, okay, the Russian Empire. That was the Russian Empire. That was one country. If you remember, the Soviet Union looked at it as such a singular entity that they kind of murdered the entire family, so that even though they abdicated, there was no chance at any point that they'd ever get back. And they became a different country. When the Russian Federation came around, Soviet Union's gone, they became a different country. So we've got a 30-year history to start with, like Ukraine. Russia hasn't invaded anybody. Look at the Soviet Union for all the maneuvering, for all the proxy wars it had with the U.S. They really didn't invade anybody either. Russia, well, they had a few. You don't get the appellation the Great unless you really did some incredible feats, and that's just generally not done as a peaceful thing. So Peter, okay, there you go. You've got a guy that lived 200 years ago. So we're looking at violence. We're looking at imperialism, but we have to go back that far to do it. It's not a matter of not being fair, but when you start misappropriating the reputation of countries and you start adding false information, how does your diplomatic corps actually get to function? It's no longer relevant or possible anymore. What happens when you need to actually cooperate with something? You've taken away every opportunity to be able to do that. And I think that's the thing that bothers me most, because between the U.S. and Russia, with everything that's passed under the bridge so far, both of these countries need each other to accomplish things in this world. They do. And if it's become so impossible to even get those done, where does that put us? And, you know, you talk about, well, Russia's more independent now. Well, it only goes so far. The same thing with the U.S., because it's not. At different levels, we're all interdependent. I'm George Eliason. This is TNT Talk Radio. Thanks for coming by today, and I'll see you on Wednesday.